A reading from Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house been broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let's have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray that you will speak to our hearts and encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to today's reading, lectionary reading, is one of those readings that's quite confusing, really, if you look at it in the Bible, because we've just read verses 32 to 40. But in the way the Bible is laid out in the RSV that you have in front of you, you'll notice that the verses 32 to 34 are linked in the previous section entitled Do Not Worry. And so those two verses, 32 to 34, act as a link between what Jesus is saying under the title Do Not Worry, and it moves it on to this title of Watchfulness. So that really, I want to put that into context just before we begin. And because if you were like me, these verses of 22 to 31 are very challenging. They're about do not worry. And if you read it and you get to the end, you're worried stiff. Because really, basically, as you read it, you realize that you do worry. And you feel, if you're not careful and you don't understand it properly, you feel that you are, in fact, being pushed further and further into the slough of despond by realizing that you are, if you are a worrier, then you there's no way out for you. And that can be quite disparaging, really, and very, very difficult to deal with. You feel guilty. People who don't worry, well, they're at a distinct advantage. You do meet people sometimes like that, don't you? Well, what we need to do is to understand the passage in the context of the journey that we're on. Because we are pilgrims passing through this world, and the Bible says we're sojourners. And that means we're pilgrims, we're on a journey through this world that we live in. And we live in a beautiful world. And this is what Jesus is saying in this particular passage under Do Not Worry. He's saying, consider the lilies, the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And he goes on and he describes the beauty of this world that we live in. And we do live in a beautiful world. And God has created that and is creating it. Yet it's a fallen world. And it's a world that's red in tooth and claw. It has death and decay in it. We have this death and decay cycle. Look what Jesus says in those verses 27 and 28. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how the God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? We went to Blenheim Castle. Is it Blenheim Castle? Is that right? Yeah, well, we went there anyway. And when we got there, we were expecting to go in inside, but when we got there, there was a flower show on. It was absolutely magnificent, was this flower show. We spent all day in it, really. We never got into the palace. But when we went in, the flowers were magnificent. There were these beautiful deep reds and purples and lovely displays all over. And one looked at them and just sort of thought, this is marvelous. This is God's creation. Yet in 2 days' time, 3 days' time, they would be in the bin. Because we live in this death decay cycle. And whilst what we have and what we see is beautiful and speaks of design and a caring, loving God, yet in the midst of that, we're constantly aware of the fact that it's all going to pot in the end. We are part of this fallen world. We are part of death and decay cycle. And if you don't believe that, if you don't believe we are part of this death and decay cycle, you look in the mirror tomorrow morning. And I sometimes look in the mirror in the morning, I think, what's my dad doing here? A few weeks ago, I decided, I usually shower. You don't need to know this, really. But I usually shower. I don't go in a bath. I used to bath, but I used to find it much quicker going in the shower. But a few weeks ago, I decided to have a bath. I thought, I'll have a soak. And I got into the bath, and I lay there. Do you know, folks, I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out. And when I did try to get out, I got cramp. Because we're getting older. We're part of this death decay cycle. We're part of a fallen world. And Jesus is wanting us to get a look at the bigger picture. To get our priorities right as Christians. He's saying, don't live in this world as if this is it. Because it's not. Don't get fixated on this world. Sit lightly on it. It's because Jesus says, watch out, because I'm coming again. And I'm going to set up a new heaven and a new earth. This death and decay cycle will disappear. Those flowers at Blenheim Castle will go on living and beautiful for a long time, forever. I don't understand how all this will work, but this is what Jesus is saying to us. I'm going to create something that's completely different. I'm working my purposes out, Jesus says. In the meantime, he says, don't worry. Have a look at the world you live in. Look at the beauty that's there. Realize that you're on a journey through this. You're part of that journey of death and decay. And one day I'm coming again. And that's when we move on to this passage of watchfulness. Don't set your heart on the things of this world, is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is encouraging us to look at the bigger picture. And verse 31 is a key verse. It says, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well. Look at verse 32, because this is the link verses up to watchfulness. He says in verse 32, seek first his kingdom, and these will be given you as well. And then in verse 32, he says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock. There's gentleness there, isn't it? He understands. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is what Jesus brought in. When Jesus came, he brought in the kingdom of God. And Jesus brought in the kingdom of God in the sense that he introduced to us and to the world love and forgiveness and peace and gentleness and kindness and justice and truth and honesty and integrity and forgiveness and love and purity, generosity, heal the sick, he said, feed the hungry. These are all attributes of God's kingdom that Jesus brought in. And then this world that we're living in now, Jesus has told us to bring in the kingdom as well. And every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because we've been given the job of also bringing in this kingdom that Jesus has brought in by his death and resurrection. A wonderful kingdom. We live in this period between Christ's first coming and his second coming, between the now and the not yet. And we need to live as pilgrims on this earth. They're called the last days. The days between when Jesus came and brought in his kingdom and the days when he's going to come again and bring in his kingdom and in this new heaven and new earth. I can't understand it. I can't grasp. You know, the more I've gone on as a Christian, the more I've felt very comfortable in saying, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work. But this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, look at this world I've built and I'm building now. How beautiful it is. Well, when I come again, it's going to be so different. No death and decay. No red in tooth and claw. But beautiful and different, and we are part of it. In between time, he's saying, bring in my kingdom. Work for my kingdom. Seek to bring justice and truth and integrity. Feed the sick. Feed the hunger of them and heal the sick. Fight the fight. Realize your soldiers in the battle that God is raging here on this earth. Put on the whole armor of God, he says. Battle on as soldiers of Christ. Get your priorities right, he says. Bring in my kingdom. Don't just focus in on what you can make and what you can build and what you can accumulate. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Enjoy the beauty of this world, but watch, be ready for his call and his return, because Jesus is coming again. I think I've said before about my spiritual father, Neville Knox. Neville Knox used to send me a card every Christmas, and he always used to sign it. He was the town clerk of Harrogate, my spiritual father, and he used to sign the letter, from Neville, until he comes or calls. Not Neville, but the Lord. Until he comes or calls. Until he comes again or he calls us to himself in death. And you do not know, it says in verse 40, when this will be. So let me finish just by saying this. When I was at Oak Hill College training for the ministry, 1963 it was, and we used to have older men, they were called. Older men. This were the guys who were over 40. And they used to come, and they used to do just 1 year training, and then they were ordained. And we had a chap who came, and he's with the Lord now. Well, he must be, he'd been over 100 now. He was called Bill Warboys. And Bill Warboys, on a Sunday, because we all were given jobs to do on a Sunday, he was given the job to go and preach at a little village just outside Potter's Bar, middle of winter. So like all older men, after lunch he went for a kip. He went to bed, had a bit of a rest. He woke up, he was pitch black, he looked at his clock, and no matter how he looked at it, it said 6 o'clock. There was no way that Bill Warboys was going to get to this little church near Potter's Bar. No way whatsoever. The interesting thing was this, is that the text he was preaching on is from Romans 13:11. Knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Don't be found kipping when the Lord returns. Don't be found kipping when the Lord returns. He's coming again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. For the encouragement of it, for the challenge of it, for the mystery of it. And we pray that you will encourage us to seek first the kingdom of God, knowing that all other things will be added to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.